It is Locked On Jazz for the 28th of July. We've seen what the new Jazz look like in three scrimmages. We'll break it down. Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley have been great. What does that mean moving forward? And how much did we learn? And what are these games going to be like? It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. And as my friend Calvin would say, 2 days, people, 2 days till we get real basketball. We are that close to real basketball and the NBA restart, which kicks off with the Utah Jazz and the New Orleans Pelicans on Thursday. The 8 seeding games firing up to find out where we get seated, who we play, what's going to happen, and then it's playoffs, and we're digging in, and we're back to being nutty, crazy sports fans where every thought of our day is about what happens next with the Jazz and all those things. So it's happening. It's a little bit of normalcy that is not going to be a world that seems to be normal anytime soon. So it's pretty fun, pretty great. And it's been fun to see the guys out there. We'll break it down and look at it. I really loved yesterday's show. So if you didn't catch yesterday's show, I'd actually suggest stop what you're doing. Go back one on your iTunes or your Spotify or whatever you're listening on and go listen to yesterday's show. The film study about Conley and Donovan turned out to actually be more important probably than it was because they did a lot of the same things. It was right on. And so I would strongly suggest going to grab that show along the way. But let's talk about what we've seen, because this Jazz team is a bit different than what we saw before the break. Quinn Snyder has kind of gone into the bag of tricks. He had some things he wanted to see out of this team, and he is getting them. And sometimes you have to dig into a little bit different. So the first thing, let's talk about the three-point shooting. So by the end of the night, the Jazz took 35 of 85 shots as threes. But if you actually go through three quarters of action, the Jazz had taken 28 of 64 shots as threes. They slowed it down a little bit in the third quarter, Brooklyn. And then in the fourth quarter, the Jazz didn't get the threes off as much with the younger kids out there. And frankly, it's just not something that those guys are that used to doing. Mia One got three off. At halftime, and in the third quarter, the Jazz actually only took 6 of 26 shots as threes, so they kind of lost their bearings a little bit. I think Brooklyn tightened up a little bit. At halftime, the Jazz had taken 22 of their 42 shots as threes. Now, let's do a little fun game here for a second. You go back to Saturday's game when we played Miami, and you start to look at the same thing. The Jazz in that game took 40 of their 81 shots as threes in the whole game. Again, if you look at just quarters 1 through 3, because in the fourth quarter, some of the other guys played, the Jazz had taken 30 of their 60 shots as threes. So in the last two games with the regular guys on the floor, the Jazz have taken 58 of their last 124 shots as threes. That's at about a high level. That's 47% of the Jazz shots in those two games are three-point shots. Now, maybe teams are going to adjust and they'll defend better, and we didn't play good teams. I mean, that's kind of one of the biggest takeaways I have from this is we just didn't play anybody who's any good, and so it's a little hard to tell what all this means. But to put the 47% of our shots as threes into a little bit of context here, if you take the team that leads the league in shots in the NBA, it's the Houston Rockets, who've taken 45% of their shots as threes. The Dallas Mavericks have taken 43. Minnesota's third at 39.5. The league average is 35%. And we're hovering at 47% of all of our shots as threes. I love it. Because if we're going to beat somebody in the playoffs, we're not a great defensive team anymore. We're super small. So we just don't eat space up the way we once did. If we're going to beat someone, it's because we outshoot them. Because when, well, and it will be interesting to see what the latest scrimmage numbers are. The early numbers are that three-point shooting is down. Overall shooting is up, but three-point shooting is down. And it's going to take some time to really know what it, you know, what this all means and what's going to take place with this. But the early indicators are that, you know, shooting from also what happened in Europe, that shooting is probably not going to be quite as good. So for the Jazz to win, they're going to have to do it on shooting. Now, as I've talked about numerous times, is the fact that great shooters are still going to be able to shoot. Good shooters, I think, are going to be and average shooters are going to probably fall off the map and be poor. I think we'll see some really ugly numbers there. But that's the first thing that's just dramatically different about who the Jazz are, is this urgency of getting up threes and Quinn basically telling the guys, some of them won't feel like good shots, but they still are good shots. That's the first one. The second one is because of that, we're playing a good deal faster. We're out running, getting going a little bit more, playing a little quicker. We had 29 fast break points against the Heat, which is incredibly high number. Last night, it wasn't quite as good. We had three. So, you know, I still think you can see the push. The push is dramatically different if Mike Conley brings the ball up instead of Joe Ingles. Ron Boone commented on the broadcast that Joe doesn't have quite that same push that Mike does. Joe's surveying the scene a little bit more, looking for things. But then we saw Joe, you know, pulling for three in some ways that were, you know, not something that we regularly would see Joe do, I don't think. So that's kind of cool. So we're playing a little quicker. Again, tempo is way up in the scrimmage game so far, as it often is in the preseason. And then when the games count, that it drops down. So we'll see about that. The other one we saw is the new 9-man rotation. And it's very much, I think, what we anticipated, but it's really interesting. So one of the big conversations we've been having is how do we possibly cover 31 minutes of Bojan Bogdanović? Well, the answer is that Emmanuel Mudiay is playing, and again, we only have, you know, through three quarters. So you kind of have to take these numbers I'm about to give. You know, this is 36 minutes of action. And Ed Davis got 7 minutes in this just because the Jazz kind of played around. It's probably better to actually, let's just look at the first half and we'll just double all the minutes. I think that's probably the right way to do it. Joe Ingles would play 34. Royce O'Neal plays 34. Rudy Gobert plays 36. Donovan plays 36 or 37. Mike Conley plays 36. That feels high. Now, maybe we were running those numbers a little high because you knew they weren't playing the second half. Or there's a little bit of a school of thought right now that there's a possibility that because these guys are going to be in the same location, not traveling, that you're going to be able to push their minutes a little bit. So let's assume that what we saw in the first half of the game the other night is the rotation. So it's Joe Ingles at 34, Royce, which is a lot. So you probably want to bring Joe back. So there's probably like a little about 4 minutes there we need to get. Royce at 34, which is fine. Rudy at 36, which frankly, that's playoff run. That's fine. Donovan's at 39, which feels high, but he's 24 years old and he looks incredible right now. I mean, incredible. Mike Conley's at 32, which feels a little high. You probably want to pull two back there, so we're at six. Jordan Clarkson's at 24. Seems low. So we probably bump Clarkson those minutes. Mudiay played 8, so that's 16 minutes. George Niang's playing about 13 minutes. And Tony Bradley's playing about 12 minutes. It's probably about right. I love George. Shooting is great. Not sure. Not saying no. Just not sure whether or not where he is in regards to 20 minutes a night. And we'll see. Teams, as I've talked about this a lot, once you're labeled as an inefficient defensive player or inadequate defensive player, I actually think you're destined to forever be an inadequate defensive player, because the minute anybody in the NBA wants to just go at you, they can. because the NBA players are that great. So I actually think George is better defensively than he gets credit for. But I think, I do think it's hard for him if they're going at him every time. And then if he's playing 20, he's playing against, you know, he's suddenly marched up against Kawhi Leonard or Zion Williamson. Like, it's hard. So I don't know what his number of minutes is. All right, so those are the three new things. Three-pointers, playing faster, new rotations. That's the new Jazz. There's one item that they are simply going to have to do if they're going to be successful. We'll touch on that when we continue. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street, located in Logan, located in Linden as well. The Murdoch lineup of cars is so great. I am driving the Sonata right now, and it's blowing my mind at what a great car it is. The deal I have, which is great, is I get a new car for and drive it for a while so I can share it with you. And then there's a mile limit that I get to that I have to return it. And I looked down yesterday while driving the Sonata. I was like, oh no, it's getting close. Like, that's the sign to me. I felt that way a little bit also with the Silverado truck when I had it from Chevy. Like, that's the sign to me of like a great car is when I look down and I see the number and I'm like, oh no. Like, that was how I felt on the Palisade just recently. So the Sonata is amazing with all the bells and the whistles and then a three on the front of the price tag. It's an unbelievable car. Go take a look at the Sonata right now if you get a chance, because the safety features are through the roof. It drives beautifully. It looks sporty. It's absolute incredible gas mileage for that kind of is all those features in that car. And then the fact that it's like, it's not outrageous. Like, it's got a three in front of it. That's what Hyundai does. Hyundai finds a way to give you all the bells, all the whistles, all the features, all the safety measurements at a reasonable price. They have just nailed that market. They do it with the Santa Fe. They do it with the Kona. They do it with the Tucson and the Palisade on the SUV lineup. And they do it with the Sonata in the sedan lineup. 4646 South State Street. Stop by, join them. Take a look at what's going on. They also have the Murdoch Share program. If you don't want to stop by and have the contacts, they'll bring it to you. If you're going to, email me first at dlock09. I'll reach out to Jason and get you set up with a VIP meeting of what you need to see and what experience you need to have. Make sure you get the VIP experience there. So that is at Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. Here's the new thing the Jazz are going to do that they have to do to be successful. And I actually don't think this is going to be a massively big deal. So I love Bojan, and every player's got their strengths and their weaknesses. Bojan is not a good rebounder. For a guy who is 6'8", 215 pounds, and generally plays the power forward, he's not a great rebounder. His rebounding rate, defensive rebounding rate, is 11.1%. What does that mean? That means that if all 10 guys were on the floor and everyone got the same amount of rebounds, everybody would have a 10% rebounding rate. So defensive rebounding rate, you should be higher because you get 75% of all rebounds are defense. So you should have a much higher rebounding rate than 10% on your defensive side of the ball because of the fact that his defensive rebounding rate's only 11%. Some of that is because Rudy has a huge rebounding rate and grabs most of the rebounds. But frankly, at Indiana, his rebounding rate was 11 and 12% and the same at Washington and the same Brooklyn. So it's a little lower this year because he's playing with a dominant rebounder like Rudy, but it's not a huge amount lower. If you go back to the ball game against the Miami Heat, and again, let's just take through three quarters let's just do first half because of the fact that, we can double the numbers for the game. So through first half against Miami, the Jazz did a really nice job. They had 21 defensive rebounds, and Miami had 4 offensive rebounds. So that is just perfect, right? That's your defensive rebounding, your off defensive rebounding rate's 84%. It's great. How'd they do it? Joe Ingles had a rebound. This is in a half. Royce had 4. Rudy had his 6, so he's on pace for 12. Donovan had 2. 4 is good. It would have been 4. Mike Conley had 4, so he's on pace for 8. Jordan Clarkson had 3, on pace for 6. Moutier had 1. Bradley had 1. And George Niang had. Group gang rebounding. Let's go to Brooklyn. First half. Joe Ingles had 4, on pace for 8. What was our we did not allow an offensive rebound in the first half of the game yesterday. Now, there's an element here where teams don't offensive rebound anymore, and I actually think it's like more makes it offensive rebounding more valuable. When we're playing New Orleans on the opener, like Zion, they're going to offensive rebound. Oklahoma City with Steven Adams, they're going to offensive rebound a little bit. But so we'll see how we hold up. But first half yesterday against it, it was this, we played a bad team yesterday. Let's just be honest about that. Joe Ingles had 4 rebounds, would have been 8. Royce O'Neal had 8 rebounds in the first half. Rudy 3, Donovan 3, Mike didn't have any last night. Jordan had 3, Moutier had 4, Niang had 2, and Bradley had 1. That type of group rebounding is vitally important for the Jazz to be successful in this new setup. Now, I actually don't know that, as I said, like I'm not, like I'm just being honest. Boyan's a deficient rebounder, so I'm not convinced this is a massive problem for us. Now, New Orleans is the 4th best offensive rebounding team in the NBA. So, like, that game's going to be our 3rd game is against the Lakers. They're the 7th best offensive rebounding team. Interestingly enough, by the way, Oklahoma City is 29th in offensive rebounding. So, for my comment about Steven Adams, offensive rebounding, it's actually not true. San Antonio, Pop just doesn't believe in it. They're 30th. We play them twice. So, that should be okay for us. But we're going to have to offensive rebound at some point here. I don't know if you guys have grasped onto it. I got to be honest. It's funny. I'm not sure I could do it off the top of my head entirely. Like it's a, does everybody have our schedule? Like, does everybody know exactly who we're playing and when? And like, it's so awesome that we're here. You just weren't sure. So we open Pelicans Thunder playing every other day. Then we have the Lakers and the Grizzlies, the Spurs. Then we play a back-to-back Spurs Nuggets. And then we play the Mavericks. And then 2 days off, we play the Spurs again. That Spurs game is now early, and they're middle of the day games. So if you're not like prepared for this, the Laker game is the only night game. Pelicans games at 4:30, Thunder games at 1:30, Grizzlies games at 12:30, Jazz Spurs is at 11, Jazz Nuggets on that Saturday is at 1:30. So the only night game is the Laker game. Just so you kind of think about that. The most exciting thing about the opening 2 games we've seen is how great Donovan Mitchell's been. So Donovan Mitchell came in yesterday, 8 of 19 shooting, 5 of 9 from 3 with 8 assists. Yesterday he goes 3 of 3 from 3. So Donovan Mitchell is now 8 of 12 from 3 in the 3 scrimmage games. He went 5 of 7 shooting. He's shooting 50% from the field. He's shooting, if I have that right, 67% from 3. And then he had another 4 assists, and he had 12 assists. I mean, that Donovan Mitchell, holy smokes. And playing easy. What I loved about yesterday's game is by the end of the first quarter, he'd taken 2 shots. He did not take a shot in the first 6 minutes. Then all of a sudden in the second quarter, he just kind of got his rhythm going. He went 4 of 4, 2 of 2 from 3, had 2 assists, had 2 rebounds, had 10 points. And all of a sudden by the first half, Donovan Mitchell's got 14 points on 5 of 6 shooting, 3 of 3 from the field. He did have 3 turns. He's on pace for 28 points. Like, the young gun who has been stayed, is going to, you know, Jeff Watkinson has been joining us at halftime. He made a really, really interesting comment the other day. You know, his comment was, yeah, these guys had a long time off, but they were at the absolute moment in time in which they were at their biggest peak of performance. So the moment when they stopped playing, even with a month or two off before they got back at it, they were at their number one peak performance that they had. And so for them to recover back to their peak is going to be easy. And for these young guys like Donovan, it might be really easy. But he has been just marvelous. The other one that's been marvelous is Mike Conley. We'll dig into that in a second. Today's show is brought to you by The Store. I might have to stop at The Store again today. I'm heading down to the Valley. I wanted to go after the game yesterday, but needed to get back up for dinner because I wanted a mudslide cookie. They're just the best. Don't listen to Jeff and his whole thing about that the Royale cookie's better. It's not. Go check it out yourself. You will see. It is not better. There's no chance to make it better. It is the Mudslide cookie is the greatest cookie that's ever been made. Okay, that might be a minor stretch, but not a huge one. The other thing that's so great about the store is you get that community feel when you stop by. You go in, you can feel the atmosphere. You can feel what's taking place with the checkers helping out the elderly. It's that community feel with Utah's own everywhere. You go in the back and you can feel the work that Amy and Jeff and Scott take to get the right products for you. The barbecue ribs are back there that you can heat up in 30 minutes and then have for yourself. They've got the local fun things like the normal ice cream or the Aggie ice cream for you as well. The normal ice creams are pretty fun. Local brand started by a woman with specialty ice cream that includes ice cream bars and cookie ice cream sandwiches and cakes. The store enchiladas are freshly made for you in the back. The Pops pickles are there, another local Utah company. It's all that great feeling you get when you're at the store. It's 6200 South 20th East, also located downtown at the Gateway. Stop by and visit the store today at 6200 South 20th East as well as at the Gateway. So Mike Conley's been great also. Mike Conley yesterday, 7 of 11 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3, plus 12, 18 points. Against the against the Miami Heat, he was 7 of 15 from the field, 17 points, 6 assists. I mean, this is the guy that we looks quick, completely into it. Jazz have changed. We talked about yesterday on the show some angles. And he looks fabulous. He finishes shooting 18 of 34 from the field, above 50%. He was 1 of 7 from 3 coming in, but that's now been rectified after going 4 of 5 yesterday, or 4 of 6 yesterday. He's 5 of 13 from 3. I mean, Mike, in the last 11 games before the break, 17 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 46% from the field, 44% from 3. And he just looks comfortable in the position he's in, the reads he's making. They're bringing him from the baseline up on more of his actions than they have before. And he looks just absolutely terrific in how he's playing. Now, okay, let's be honest about all this before we get too excited. But I am excited. I'm excited to see him play. I'm excited with the adjustments they made. They've done the right things. Now let's have a moment of reality. Excuse me. The starting point guard for Brooklyn was Chris Chioza. The starting point guard for Miami was Kendrick Nunn. Those guys aren't good. Kendrick Nunn's not a good defensive player. Mike Conley killed him. He should. We're going in, and this schedule is hard, right? I mean, the guys we just talked about playing, like, we're opening with Jrue Holiday. We're then getting Chris Paul. We're then getting LeBron as their point guard, or whoever they're going to play as their point guard. Then you're getting Ja Morant, DeJounte Murray, Derek White, Jamal Murray, Luka. Conley won't guard him, but that's basically their point guard. So it's Seth Curry. And then back to the Spurs. Like, that's tough. We didn't play that. We played Phoenix without Ricky Rubio. We played Brooklyn without Kyrie Irving. And we played Miami with Kendrick Nunn starting at point guard. We played not very good teams in this setup. And now we're playing great teams. And that's going to be a big, big, big difference to what we're about to experience and embark upon. Because the thing about this 8-game stretch is, one, is these teams are playing at a high level. They're all at their peak. And two, more than that, is they're all good because the bad teams aren't here. So to me, that's kind of the thing that is jumping out more than anything to me on this, is that you're ending up with you're only playing good opponents and you're playing them at their peak. I am utterly convinced this is going to be the best basketball we've ever seen and likely the greatest basketball we ever see ever. The lack of travel, The time off is now a benefit. These guys, I think, are going to be absolutely at their peak and fabulous. And the other aspect is, frankly, the league is doing such an unbelievable aspect of game production that the atmosphere is getting closer and closer and closer to being an NBA game. And so I think it's going to be less and less of an awkward, weird situation. The playing these scrimmage games was a brilliant idea. And in turn, the players are getting more and more comfortable about it in how they're playing every day. So I think we're on the verge of just basketball mecca of greatness here from a viewing standpoint. I think it could be just truly awesome. Should be interesting. All right, I wanted to jump back out. We've done this a lot. Kendall Baker, Axios, doing a great job with his work on the... And we had the Jazz all-time rosters. Jazz came in at 9th. I wanted to update you on what's happened since. So the Jazz were 9. The Miami Heat came in at 8. The Detroit Pistons came in at 7. And the Chicago Bulls today come in at 6. I'm a little surprised. Derrick Rose, Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan, Dennis Rodman, and Artis Gilmore. You know, they actually haven't had a huge amount of success other than the Jordan year, but the Jordan year was that good. Jerry Sloan, of course. Horace Grant, Tony Kukoc, Bob Love, Norm Van Leer, and Luol Deng. So we've got just a few teams left. And it'll be interesting to see. If those you are viewing, kind of the thinking about the, if you haven't followed this the whole way because you're back, we've had such an increase in listening recently. Kendall Baker over at Axios has done a nice job. He's done the all-time franchise rosters. And just kind of starting at 15 was the Orlando Magic. Denver was 14. Trailblazers, 13. Rockets, 12th. Knicks, 11th. Thunder Sonics, 10th. Jazz, 9. Heat, 8. Pistons, 7. So if you're wondering who's left, the obvious are the Lakers, the Celtics, with their, you know, amazing history. And let me make sure, I'm just trying to pull something across here to make sure I get this right. It's not allowed. My computer's doing something funky right now. Suddenly opening a tab every time I hit something. So we've got the 76ers still left with their Julius Erving, Moses Malone, as we anticipated. We have the Lakers still left. I think we have the Warriors still left as well. We do. So we'll be interesting to see who the order of the final six is. That is Locked On Jazz today. Thanks so much for tuning in. I appreciate you. I hope you're doing great. Starting today on Locked On NBA is the preview, resetting of the NBA season, reminding you where all the 22 teams stand and what their storylines are heading into this. It's a great way to review where everybody is. So right now, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On NBA.